bucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. It's finally Friday. 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the show, you text me, and I'll do my best to respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. April Marie Fogle in about a half hour. By the way, hour number three is now underway. 251-343-0106. Pat, why should Alabama expand Medicaid if we're one of the brokest states? Shouldn't that mean many, many, many poor people qualify for it? So confused on that talking point. And it's not like it's just free money. The federal government was coming in early with a plussing your Medicaid up, and then that money goes away. And the reluctance is, it's like, okay, the legislature is just heartless and mean, and they don't love you. They want you to be unhealthy and sick. And this is not it. The part that's like not really explained by these pro Medicaid expansioners are, well, this is an obligation to the general fund. In one of the poorest states, who are we going to raise taxes on to pay for it? Do we get more bang for our buck? Does your quality of life of the entirety of the state, regardless of your political stripes, is it improved with Medicaid expansion dollars, or is it improved with schools or prisons, public safety, highways? And David Sessions, friend of the show, state senator from Grand Bay, explained it as well as anybody could. Why not? And here's the problem, and this is, I believe this absolutely to be valid. It's not even that it would take a significant hit to the general fund. But if health insurance is something that an individual wants, something that they covet, something that is the most important thing, more important than their salary, you could go out and get a job and be covered under your employer plan. It would be one thing if we had employers who weren't hiring, if there weren't jobs to be had, if there wasn't a workforce, if we were, and they just, there weren't companies who were hiring who offered health insurance. If you're willing to work for it, if it's something you really need, if it's something you really want, it's out there, it's available. You could get health insurance. We don't need to expand Medicaid. And essentially what it is, you know, Medicaid expansion, what is it? Well, you're changing the qualifications to get to be eligible for Medicaid. Right now, it's the poorest of the poor, the people who really truly are unable to work. And they want to expand that. They want to offer health insurance to a bigger pool of people. Not because necessarily they want it, but they really truly believe deep down that if you have a health insurance card in your pocket, you're going to go use a rural hospital. You're going to use a maternity clinic. You're going to be using these things by virtue of having Medicaid-provided health insurance. that that's the answer to the rural healthcare crisis, to the rural hospital problem. But according to Senator Sessions, David Sessions, and I believe this to be true, if this is something you really want, go out and get a job. Go out and work for it. We have a workforce participation problem in Alabama. Now, what are the barriers? There's two that really stick out in my mind. And one the state could do a little bit better job with is child care. People can't go to work because there's just no child care in the area. Or heck, if you live in an area where there is child care, there's a waiting list. And we're going to get an expert on. I try to get past the election cycle to talk about this a little bit more. I think this is something the state's got to figure out a way to cut the red tape on and got to figure out how to have more child care widely available to eliminate that barrier to entry. Now, the other one is part mental health and personal responsibility, but just a lot of people can't pass a drug test. You have to be able to pass a drug test to get work at a lot of places. And they can't. And that's keeping them out of the workforce. Listen, you eliminate these barriers to entry, people go to work, they can get health insurance. They don't need Medicaid. They don't need the state of Alabama to provide their health insurance, regardless if it's the state or it's coming from the federal government. That has to be discussed. You're just, why don't we just wave our magic wand and expand Medicaid? But there's a societal cost to that. It disincentivizes work. We don't talk about that, do we? The reality is, the way it's portrayed, the reality is health insurance is available if you really, really want it. You will find a way to work and you will find a way to get it. But the perception that's being portrayed here, and it's a false perception, that the mean old Republican legislature is just greedy and they want tax cuts for the wealthy, or I don't know what they want. And you're not going to hear it from me. I mean, I do think that this legislature leans a little too into the corporatism. But on Medicaid expansion, it's a tremendous obligation to the state's general fund in a cash-strapped state, a state that we are sitting in traffic on a regular basis, can't build the necessary infrastructure. That's the argument against it. It's not just mean old Republicans. And I'm going to tell you this. Pass all the gambling you want. You're not going to have enough money to pay for it. That's the reality. If the Alabama legislature could give out free health care to everybody in the state and afford it, they totally would. But that's just a dumb anti-Republican talking point. And there's also just the added idea. I mean, it's just not what voters want. It's what Democrats want. And we don't live in a Democrat state. I'm sorry. You want a Medicaid expansion bill? Go move to a blue state where they've already expanded it. It's not a priority of the electorate here. That's a Democratic Party policy, and we are not a Democratic Party state. And if people wanted Medicaid expansion, they would vote Democrat. And guess what they don't do? They don't vote Democrat. Just a handful do. Or a third of the state. I mean, I can lay out all the pros and cons of it. But at the end of the day, in the government for, of, and by the people, they don't want it. It's not on their list. They think that we have too much welfare in our society. Too many government handouts. Because it's not just, it's not as if the state of Alabama is magically creating health care for a class of people. It's coming from the other people in this state who will have to pay for it through tax revenues. And it'll come at the cost of other things. The other things that they probably think are more important. I'm sorry, that's the reality. So this emotional plea is just not steeped in reality on a number of levels. Named Texter, I'm voting for your pawn shop buddy, Jeff. I haven't heard from Tim in a little while. He didn't really explain why. Southern Jedi. Imagine hitting conservatives so much you listen to Jeff's show to let him know how wrong he is. Mommy Issues needs a life. Mommy Issues has been doing this a while since I've been on here. Mike, I might be okay with expanding Medicaid. The legislature first took a chainsaw to the ETF budget. It got rid of 25% plus of the government school's budget. I just, the ETF, education, the state does education, spends three times as much on education as it does on everything else combined. We're not getting much out of it. Things are improving. But we still lag. DI texted, of those folks showing up at the hospital without the ability to pay is costing the rest of us more, bankrupting the hospitals. What's bankrupting the hospitals is no customers. Some of that's true. People showing up in the emergency room and unable to pay their bills and they can't be turned away. But what's bankrupting hospitals is the population bleed in the rural areas. That's why these hospitals are struggling. They just don't have customers. So the hospital associations, you know, they look at this as a potential revenue source. Medicaid expansion, that their customers will have health insurance and they might actually use the hospital. But there's real rationing. But as I said, if the individual wants health insurance, DI texter, they want a job, they can find the work and get an employer supplied plan, provided plan. They have to pay into it, of course. That's the system we live under. I'm not crazy about it. It goes back to the original sin. We wonder why we have such a convoluted system. During World War II, was it FDR, put wage and price controls on the economy. And the way our capitalist system works, they found workarounds. What was the workaround? We're going to start offering benefits. And among those was health insurance. And that's sort of why we have the system that we have. It's kind of grown from that. You don't just go to the doctor and pay whatever the cost is. And it's caused the healthcare prices to go up. You have middlemen. But it's a system we live under. We have to live with it. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show. That's a talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. Coming up on the program on Monday, we'll kick it off as we typically do on Mondays with every other Monday, I should say, State Representative Shane Stringer, heading into the election there. Sam Roberts, you heard him on earlier this week, and he's running polls continuously, trying to get a feel for the how these elections are going, and we'll get an update from him. We'll get his final predictions heading into Tuesday. I think that's a good segment. I don't know if y'all heard it, but kind of a state of the race, especially as this last weekend is coming up and our undecided starting to break. We'll talk about that. Then Dale Jackson, who will offer his commentary, is a shoot from the hip. Dale has interesting takes, but he'll be with us on Monday. And I said maybe some candidates. We'll just have to see who asks and what I can work in. But that's coming up on Monday's program. Jason asked, why is Ricky banned and not mommy issues? Both are a few bricks short. Ricky's not banned. Ricky still texts in. But Ricky, the problem with Ricky is he changes his phone number on a regular basis. So you don't know. It takes a few minutes, a few ticks to start reading it. And then once, oh, that's Ricky. But I did ban Ricky for a short time. He got a little on the anti-Semitic side, and I just can't deal with that. Just leave the religious bigotry out of your policy arguments. But that was what we deal with Ricky. Colbert Texture says, stop legitimizing Sam Roberts and his gossip Facebook page that he brands as news. Well, I've seen his polling, though, and I've seen the methodology. It's not dead spot on scientific, but it's been pretty accurate. And it's in line with a lot of the other polling we see. I mean, I think it's legitimate. It's interesting. It's something to talk about. It's something no one else is doing. And, I mean, if he's bad wrong, then that's one thing. But when he's starting to get stuff right, then, I don't know about his Facebook page. I don't live in Coleman. A lot of that stuff that I see on there doesn't really pertain to me. I know he was really hard on Garland Gudger for a few ticks. But I find this polling to be compelling. And he's doing something no one else is really doing. So, you don't have to listen, but we're going to have him on Monday. John Archbold. I had to call him out yesterday. I got to mention it. Headline, Archbold, white people go to Selma. It's like this new thing that he just discovered. I wonder how many times John Archbold has been down to Selma. From his lofty perch at the AL.com confines in Birmingham. I tell this story sometimes, eating at the barbecue place, Laney's, if you've ever gone there. It's worth checking out. And just kind of talking, it was a few days after the Bloody Sunday march they do every year. And sort of what this is, like, yeah, those guys come into town once a year, they do their march, pose for photographs, and then we never see them again until the next year. We have all these, like, I was looking at it once, and all these, like, sort of corporate, you know, virtue signaling entities. Starbucks was my favorite example. And they pay homage, they say all the right things, but none of them strangely target Starbucks. All these left woke sort of corporate interests that are doing it, I guess, for the sake of Wall Street and stock price. Not within 50 miles of Selma, Alabama. How do you explain that? We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
You'll ride a black tornado. western sky. Rope an old blue norther and milk it till it's dry. Bulldog the Mississippi, fence ears down flat. Long before you take this cowboy's hat.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us.
Means to you what this
on this Friday morning, 251-343-0106. Time permitting, we'll get to your text. And as the show before the show concludes, so keep them coming. Always appreciate the feedback. Joining us now, she was gracious enough to move her time. So we had a busy show yesterday with Coach Barry Moore, Elliot, and Jared Hudson. But joining us now, she made way for that roster. April Marie Fogle, she gets to close out the week here. It's a very important week. The last week before the election on Tuesday. April Marie, my colleague at 1819 News. How are you?
I'm good. I'm drowning in election mail. I think I put a couple, sent a couple to you earlier today. They're getting brutal out there.
They are. And, Elliot said this yesterday, and I think it's probably true that, yes, they have their idea of the candidates they want to support and help, that the who can, whatever, promote their business model, which is, sports betting or whatever. But it's also this, it's kind of sinister. It's just a flex. It's they're sending a message. This is what we're capable of. This is the kind of thing that we're capable of doing in your election, in your space. So you better think twice about opposing us, which is just, now that's from the ACF flyers. Now you're probably getting a delusion mail from campaigns too, but that's what you should expect, I think, in an election cycle, at this stage.
Yeah, the mean-spiritedness, I think we all anticipated it in the lieutenant governor. I heard a lieutenant governor radio ad this morning, and then the attorney general's race, which I think everybody had those two. Like, if you had a bingo card, you knew those two were going to come up in terms of being a little bit ugly. I think the attorney general's one is a little bit more ugly than I thought it would be in terms of the personal attack.
Well, the AG's race, I mean, it started out kind of chippy, and it's. You know, I expected it to kind of wind up that way. Let's talk about, I guess it's time to start kind of talking about predictions here. But that AG's race, you sense this, that Catherine Robertson is starting to build a little bit of a lead. It may not be enough for her to avoid a runoff, but I think when the votes are counted Tuesday, she's going to get a plurality for sure.
Yeah, I think that too. Pamela Casey starting to get a little bit more traction in some of my women's groups and some of my, more grassroots groups. But I think Catherine with the clear advantage, and I am not looking forward to that runoff. That's for sure. And I don't think either of them can be Catherine or Jay can be ready for that.
Yeah, but Pamela Casey has a puncher's chance. It's tough to beat a guy who's raised a lot of money and is able to be on air and telling people to Allah Akbar their butt back to the Middle East. That resonates with some people. I don't think it quite hits like it's supposed to with Jay Mitchell. I mean, he's running a campaign that I think is designed by an out-of-state consultant. The people who look at, like, they look at poll numbers, they look at then they take these like assumptions about the state that I think are just totally erroneous and apply them. And it's just the message doesn't quite hit like they think it does.
No, I think that's true of every time. We see that a lot with out-of-state consultants being the primary, is that they think they know what Trump voters want to hear. They think they know, what the tone is here, but it's not quite enough. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting. I have seen it, and I know you've seen it. We saw Robert Bentley. I, of course, have the firsthand experience of Gosar. Paul Gosar was not supposed to be a member of Congress. He was in a crowded primary. The front runners beat each other up, and he skated on through. That could be how Pamela Casey ends up in a runoff.
Yeah, it's the Bentley effect. You got two candidates beating up on each other, and by a very small margin, the third place person kind of sneaks in to a runoff, and then I don't know what turnout's going to be in a month in June, but I can't imagine it's going to be really off the charts. These are typically low turnout events, and that's where it becomes less about your percentages and more about just raw vote totals.
Yeah. And this is one of those, you and your listeners know more than anything, the races to the get out the vote. And it's going to be interesting to see how it changes in terms of this one doesn't really count, guys. I think everybody was anticipating these huge turnouts for your race down there and for South Alabama. And now it's like, we'll come back to that. So does that depress turnout down there and change the way everybody was looking at these numbers?
Well, tell me something, and I've been thinking about this. I think maybe you and I talked about it. Four congressional districts will have new elections, including one in your area, the sixth. Well, both in your area, six and seven. Seven's another discussion because I think, I'm not there where I think a Republican could beat Terry Sewell, but I do think Terry Sewell could be beaten in a Democrat primary. I really do.
It would be so fun to watch. I'll tell you what, and this is a weird like barometer thing happening here, but I got moved to Terry Sewell's district. I was in Gary Palmer's district. I got moved during this, the court ordered map and the redistricting into Terry Sewell's district, which is just so like what the Over the Mountain communities have to do with Selma, besides they just rigged this all goofy. So I've been pretty outspoken about this on X, and it's amazing to me how many people who have found me in recent days just based on feeling like they're stuck with Sewell. So I'm starting to think there might be something to this. Yeah, people who are Democrats are annoyed with her being the heir apparent time and time again, and people who are Republicans are like, listen to her. She really doesn't care about us as voters.
Right. So this is true. It really is that she's vulnerable, and she knew this, and I don't know how she did it, but she managed to pull off with this court-ordered map, a map that was very, very, very more favorable to her than what her pre-existing map was. She gets the parts of Birmingham that have been loyal to her, and she gets, because she's originally from Selma, she went to Selma High School, but gets to keep Perry County and Dallas County in her district. She didn't lose that to Shamari Figures, but they drew it in a way to protect her. Yeah. And I mean, that's what they did. But that being said, back to the 6th Congressional District, I mean, think about this. And then this is, Jared Hudson could very well make the U.S. Senate primary runoff.
Right.
If he doesn't, if it's Steve Marshall and Barry Moore, which could also happen, Jared Hudson could run for that seat against Gary Palmer and really, really have a good shot at winning it.
From your lips to God's ears, how fun would that be? I would be all about it. And here's the thing. Your listeners everywhere know I am not the biggest Gary Palmer fan, never have been. He promised to term limit himself, which, by the way, I hate it when candidates do that. And then he broke the promise. I think that Jared has got a lot of momentum. I do see him, doing well in this election, which does surprise me. I mean, he came from kind of, it was a slow start to now being pretty strong. And I think that would be really interesting to see. And I think he would find a lot of support because where he's going to be the strongest is the Shelby County area.
Well, that's what the polling shows in the Birmingham DMA. He's beating, he's winning. He's beating Marshall. He's beating Barry Moore. Barry Moore's doing well everywhere. And Steve Marshall's doing really well in North Alabama. But if it's just the 6th Congressional District, and this is what he has to look at election night, and if he doesn't make the runoff, I don't know why he wouldn't take it. It's a free shot on goal. It's not going to be – it's going to be a short election. So you have the opportunity here, and you get to kind of run at a lower cost.
I think that would be one of those, like, just – looking after the fact, it would be like, that's incredible. Now, does he do that? I don't know. But you suggest, you're the first person to suggest it. And I think it's genius. I think it's absolutely, if I'm on his team, you're planning towards making that runoff. And I'm watching Barry's people freak out about Hudson, which I've got people in every camp, as do you, I know. But I'm watching Barry's people really freak out at Hudson and try to paint him as an anti-Trumper or with anti-Trump support. And it's kind of comical. So I think you're planning for that runoff, but then a plan B isn't a bad idea.
Well, the other thing is there's three Trump endorsed candidates in this election. Two are doing okay. One, I think, is underperforming, but I had a lawmaker explain this to me. Like, do you think that Trump's going to let his picks just without helping them, that in some ways they're too big to fail? And Trump likes to win. He likes to show that he is the will his political office look at this and say, we need to step in here. What might that look like? Would it be, because we saw Club for Growth has gotten in the AG's race.
Yep.
How far behind can they be to get in the lieutenant gubernatorial race?
Which would be really interesting. Okay, hold on. We've got Trump endorsed Wall, Trump endorsed Barry Moore. Who am I missing?
Tuberville.
Oh, well, that doesn't count.
Yeah, it does. I mean, he endorsed three candidates. Those are the three.
Yeah, but Tuberville doesn't have a race. I mean, I was thinking, hold on, what am I missing here? I forget Tuberville's actually, air quotes, got a race. He doesn't. I mean, who the heck's voting for, and I want the other candidates.
But those are the three. Technically, he Fair. Endorsed. So formal discussion. Here, we're mass communicating. We don't want to get it wrong. But those are the three. Tuberville's fine. Barry Moore is okay for now. It's John Wall, and I still, what Wes Allen has to do to win my confidence that he's got to break out of that 25 to 35 window. I mean, I think he's done a little, he's edged it up some, but man, they are throwing everything at it right now. And they're still not getting into 40s even. I don't know that he can get
Wes Allen radio.
They're not playing down here.
So
they were.
What's funny is I heard it for the first time today, and I thought, well, that's weird, because so they were down there, and then they switched up their strategy.
Well, I mean, this is what they do. The Birmingham DMA, the problem with spending in Mobile is, and it's always been this taboo thing to play hard in Mobile, because half of the message goes to Florida. A few counties in Mississippi. So these statewide candidates are reluctant to play down here. And that's always been to our detriment. We may in Mobile have a top 100 DMA, but the only reason they did it this way, they put both states in it, is so they could get to that top 100 and get top 100 ad rates. And, but it comes at a cost on the political end.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It's was really interesting, but this was my complaint going into this lieutenant governor's race. I don't think anybody gives two hoots that John Wall's given name is Nehemiah. I don't think anybody gives two hoots that John Wall had, considered moving to Tennessee and got a driver's license there. The things that they think are going to stick, I don't know that they stick.
It shows the bubble mentality here that everybody's watching the same and reading the same stuff they are. And it's not true. It's just, it's very, it's just not very outwardly looking. You got a high number of undecideds in that race. They're not plugged in. They're not engaged. Maybe they are likely voters, but they're not reading the news reports, or they're not keeping up with sort of the negative campaigning, negative storylines. They're not reading Yellowhammer News or Alabama Political Reporter or even 1819 News. So that, but they're operating an assumption that they are, and that this is going to stick. And I just think that's not your target audience.
Yeah, I feel like the people who are reading those things, the people who are listening to talk radio, those aren't necessarily your undecided voters. There might be a small percentage who are on a bubble one way or another. But I feel like at this point, if you've heard from these guys a couple times each, you've seen them at your local Republican Women's Club, you know who they are and you know where you are. And so how do we get those undecideds, you know, off a bubble? The other thing is, you know, how many people are leaning likely, and the fact that I've gotten two Barry Moore Trump ads in the last, you know, mailers in the last couple of days, that says to me that there's a big push to get that Trump name out there.
They think, yeah, and maybe it's true, you got to hitch your wagon to it. You're trying to get those undecided voters to break your way. And, I mean, there's a lot of ways to do that. But one of the easy ways has got to be, well, this, I'm the Trump guy. You should vote for me. And you don't have to put a lot of thought into it. You just let Trump do the thinking for you. And I know that that's taboo and we could think for ourselves. But there's a lot of people out there who just don't, I mean, they're not going to do the homework. And they're going to say, well, Trump endorsed him. That's good enough for me.
Yeah. And I guess that the question is that going to work? I don't know. We've seen in the past, I don't think Katie Britt necessarily won because Trump endorsed her. I think Katie Britt won because Katie Britt worked her tail off.
Yeah, she outworked. She went to every county twice and she was everywhere. And I mean, that's what it takes if you're going to do it.
Anybody who thinks Katie Britt won that because Trump endorsed her is out of their minds. Watching her grow that campaign from single digits to winning. Trump came in, but he came in after she had already pulled ahead, after minds had already been changed, votes had already been changed over. So I think it was an impediment. You know, let's get Trump off the table from helping Mo. But really, Katie won that by working it. And I think that's what we're seeing a lot of these candidates now do. That's what Hudson has done. Hudson has been out there working it.
April, really got to leave it there. Folks will find you online. Where can they look?
1819 News is always the best place. And then on X, APRYLMARIE.
April Murray Fogle. You never can have enough April Murray Fogle on FM Talk 106.5. April Murray, we appreciate it.
Thanks. Have a great weekend.
All right. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I hope you're old enough to understand. Son, you don't have to fight to be a man. There's someone for everyone.
Spend my dollar, park in a holler neath the mountain moonlight. Hold her up tight, make a little loving, a little turn of loving on a Mason-Dixon line. It's my life.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us. So what's left of this Friday morning? Coming up on the Monday program, we'll have Shane Stringer, also Sam Roberts from Coleman, and then we'll close it out with Dell Jackson, WVNN, and Yellowhammer News. B-Dark, Jeff, can you name one honest politician, lawyer, or used car salesman? I can name a lawyer, my wife. She's a lawyer, but that's sort of a silly stereotype there. Chris writes this. Hey, the mailing that we get from all these candidates is proof to the U.S. Postal Service is totally irresponsible. They should be charging out the nose to send this garbage out to all the residences. They'd be making money instead of losing. So Matt Simpson yesterday made the crack that this is his way of helping the folks at Spanish Fort have their long-desired post office realized. Still don't have a post office in Spanish Fort. How about that? Anyway, enough of that. Coming up here shortly, Midday Mobile. Sean, what you got?
Hey, Jeff. First of all, let me say this. Moral, yes. Bad judgment, possibly, for your wife. Like, she's
bad judgment.
Good, honest person, but her judgment may be
flawed,
suspect.
Significantly flawed.
Yeah, I just want to point it that way. Oh, and also, give you a heads up, everybody, Jeff and I had a very serious meeting about this as I was riding down the road yesterday, confirming coming up on Tuesday night, election night coverage here at FM Talk 106.5. So we're doing that. So
Hopefully I'll have the finishing touches put on the new and improved Fairhope Bureau.
I really don't like that because your home studio was nicer than the FM Talk 106.5 studios, the opulent gold-gilded FM Talk 106.5 studios. But so maybe not. Don't have the cameras on.
Yeah, well, okay, we did that last time, remember? We did the cameras or something, and it wasn't great.
Yeah, it just shows things off. But yeah, y'all, we're doing that on Tuesday, and of course there'll be a lot to talk about. We'll do some of that on today's show. One of those folks that you're going to see the name on the ballot, but then there's a special election. Jerry Carl joining me at about 12:30 today on the show. Also, the congressional scorecard from Mobile Baykeeper out. William Strickland joins me in the second hour. But to get started, Jeff, I know it's shocking and surprising. I'm going to talk about the bomb on the dam at Big Creek Lake. So y'all got a comment on that. We'll get to you when we come back from the news.
Do you have a theory on that?
I've got questions.
Yeah.
I've got questions. That's what we're going to roll with, some questions coming up.
Yeah, I should spend more time on that. It's just, I saw the report. It was like, should this be like front page news? It was kind of like done in passing.
Well, but it's made news all around the country.
All over the country now, yeah. But anyway, y'all stay tuned for that. I got to get out of here. It has been a pleasure. I will try to do better on Monday. Sorry, Phyllis. I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.